The week began with the victor's parade, began on what we call Palm Sunday, and Jesus became the victor, the focus of the victor's parade. There was the donkey, there was the palm branches, the clothes, the shouts of praise, and the cheers. Matthew 21:9 tells us the crowd was going ahead of him, and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Save now, Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Save now to the highest." You see, they wanted to be delivered from Rome. They were looking for a king that day that would overthrow Rome and their power and their bondage and oppression that Rome brought to bear on Israel. They wanted freedom. They wanted a national prominence once again in the world. They wanted somebody to take control and move them out from the servitude to the Romans. Jesus' activity has been noted for each day. Monday was the day that he cursed the fig tree and he cleansed the temple the second time. Tuesday, the religious leaders attempted to ambush him and arrest him, but he evaded them and went on to the Mount of Olives and preached and pronounced the destruction of Jerusalem and his second coming that would happen. Wednesday seemed to be a day of rest and anticipation of the Passover, getting ready for it, but Jesus had teachings at the temple and he moved amongst them teaching there. But Judas made the commitment. And he dealt with the deal to betray Jesus and have him taken into the hands of the high priest and the Sanhedrin. Thursday was the day, again, of preparation for the Passover. And Peter and John went to the Passover room that they were going to celebrate it in. After sundown, they ate the Passover meal together with Jesus. And Jesus gave them an example of a servant leadership that he was expecting from every one of them. He washed the feet of the disciples. He gave them that final teaching, that final understanding of who he was and what he was. He also, during that time, dismissed Judas to the task of betraying him. And he instituted what we know as the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper. Some call it communion. But this is where we pick up the story of that week. They had roasted lamb. They had unleavened bread. They had gathered bitter herbs and spices as well as wine and juice. And Jesus was leading them through that process of the Passover as Moses had required and instructed the Israelites on the night of that first Passover. But as a part of that process, there was that reality of the death angel, what was going on. What they were doing is that as they were in that process of understanding this, Moses had given them a step-by-step of instruction of what they were to do and how they were to do it to prepare it. And then he told them about the death angel and the death impending of all of the firstborn of the Egyptian families and of their animals. You remember? There was that process that they went through. And every year since that time, as they instituted it in the wilderness, they would go back and celebrate God's deliverance from Egypt, God's blessing to them. You remember there had been a lot of drama in those few months preparing for that Passover feast the first time. There were the 9 plagues that befell the Egyptians and racked the nation with all kind of pains and problems. And then the 10th plague came that night of the Passover celebration. And that was the death angel moving through Egypt. The doorpost of the Israelites had been painted red with the blood of the animals that had been sacrificed and roasted and were being eaten by the family. And they locked themselves into the home, waiting for word from Moses into when they would get up and leave. That 10th plague brought so much destruction, brought so much pain. I can only imagine what it was like living in that place and hearing the cries of every one of your neighbors, hearing the bellowing and the pain that was coming because of the death of people, and them not understanding exactly what was going on. But they realized something was happening. As the death angel moved through the land, The blood protected him, protected the Israelites, and he would pass over their home. The Passover celebration would be the means that every Israelite generation forward would know and remember God brought them out of the nation of Egypt, and he freed them, and he created in them a new nation that God had a special relationship with them. As that night began, they were ready to leave at Moses' command. Everything was packed. Everything was dressed. Everyone was dressed. The meal was prepared. It was eaten as it was supposed to be eaten. And they prepared to travel at a moment's notice. During the day, the lamb is slaughtered and roasted. The blood was smeared on the doorpost, and no one would leave the house as night began. After sundown, the meal began. It was about midnight that the Lord moved through the land in the deaths of so many of the Egyptians' firstborns. When that occurred, no home in Egypt was spared during that night. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and told them, "Go, get out of here, leave us alone." And that experience was remembered and shared by every generation following that. For every year, they celebrated the Passover, just like we celebrate the Good Friday and Easter. They experienced it, they remembered it, and they shared it with each generation. The Passover was a way they remembered the past. The group of disciples were celebrating the past. Jesus and his disciples were celebrating, remembering the nation's escape from Egypt when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. There was a design process that would describe words and messages and meanings that would be remembered by the father of the house. And they were going through that process with Jesus leading them when they came to the unleavened bread. And Jesus took it. After blessing it, he broke the bread. He gave it to the disciples and "Take, eat, this is my body." The Passover bread represented the past. It represented the hard life of slavery, the quick transition out of that to a free life. And he acknowledged God's work all through that 40 years when he gave them manna every morning to feed on. Hardships, very little time, not even enough time to dough to rise to bake fresh bread. They baked it without the yeast. The matzah bread was hard, and it was in the shape of a flat cracker. Under the new covenant, Jesus was instituting a bread that would represent his broken body, given on the cross of Calvary, offered in the forgiveness of man's sin. The wine acknowledges God's involvement. The wine was also taken with special instructions during the Passover. While there was no reference to the Old Testament stories, Jewish tradition mentions 4 cups of wine during the Passover. Exodus 6:6 says, "Therefore tell the Israelites, I am the Lord. I will bring you out of the forced labor of the Egyptians and rescue from the slavery of them. I will redeem you with outstretched arms, with great acts of judgment. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. You will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt from the forced labor." The cups were God's commitment. The first cup, "I will bring you out." As they partake of that cup, that first Passover, they were listening to God and remembering that God said he would take them out of the Egyptians. The Passover meal began with a blessing, the saying of grace, as it were. And over the parts of the meal, that first cup came. And it was remembering and telling the story of the plagues and the inflictions of the harshness and the working conditions of those that were enslaved. The second cup was called, "I will save you, I will rescue you." The death angel passed throughout Egypt, and the firstborn child and animal died where the blood was not in place over the doorpost and the lintel. Because God gave explicit instructions on the application of the blood and the preparation and the consumption of the meal, the Israelites obeyed, and they were spared and they were cared for and separated from Egypt. God saved them from the death angel. The third cup was called, I Will Redeem You. As the people escaped Egypt and they arrived at the Red Sea was at flood stage. And the people were trapped between two great mountains, the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army coming behind them. And there Pharaoh had assumed they were lost. They were stranded. It was his opportunity to get them back, to take the pain of the firstborns being dead into the Israelite nation and show them what that death was like. So as they came, God told Moses how to part the Red Sea. And when he did, the people crossed through on dry land. Pharaoh tried to follow them. And it was as soon as he got into the riverbed, he bogged down in the mud. And then the water returned, and he and his army and their horses were all killed. The fourth cup in the Passover was called, I Will Take You As My People. The fourth cup was the commemoration of the people becoming a nation under the covenant relationship that was established at Mount Sinai. The people agreed with God, and he became their royal priest. He became their God, and they became a holy nation under him. They were set apart for the purpose of representing him to all nations of the world. And it would be through them that God would bring the Messiah into the world and redeem all the world from sin. They were reminded of God's commitment. The disciples remembered God's covenant. Jesus and the disciples were being reminded of the covenant of Israel. And he was going through the meal, and they were eating, and the cups were being passed. And they were reminded of God's declaring his commitment to the people. And in the midst of the process, Jesus took the third cup, the cup of redemption. And he said, in Matthew 26, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. But I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. You see, again, he declared a new covenant. He declared to them, no longer will you be under the Levitical system of sacrifices and given the law that was in the wilderness. The blood of animals will no longer be a valid means of rolling back the guilt and the penalty of sin. No longer will the Passover be a means of remembering the redeeming of God's people from the yoke of slavery. The new covenant will be eternally binding and valid for the forgiveness of sin and the adoption into God's family. And then Jesus took it one additional step. But I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. You see, the fourth cup waits. The fourth cup is in the future. The fourth cup Jesus didn't take that night in the new covenant. You remember what he said was the fourth cup? The fourth cup, Moses told them, I will take you as my people. And in the Lord's Supper, this is the promise. I will return and gather you to my Father's house. We look forward to what we call the marriage feast. We look forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb. We look forward to the marriage of the church and the Lamb of God in eternity for all of eternity. Jesus promised he will come, he will get us, and he will take us home with him to spend all of eternity with him. You see, this gives us the opportunity to make sure we're prepared, that we will go to the Father's house with the Lord Jesus. It's necessary that you make sure you're prepared today. Now, take it a step further. In the Jewish marriage customs, there was the betrothal that took place. And the bride would go home to her family, and they would prepare the dress and make ready. The groom would go home with his family. They would build more onto the house and be prepared and ready. And somewhere out there, sometime about a year, the father would say to the groom, go get the bride and bring it to the wedding. And the bride would be brought. The groom would be there. They would have the wedding feast and the celebration and the marriage. Jesus said that fourth cup, we will drink with him when we get to heaven and there is the marriage feast that takes place. What it's going to be like. Jean's grandmother, when we were first married, gave her a picture that hung in our house for many, many years. And it was a table that you couldn't see the end of, but it was set. It was prepared for a great feast. And it was a reminder that Jesus is coming to get his bride. And he's going to take her home to be with him from all of eternity. You and I call it the second coming. We look forward to that. So why do we partake of the Lord's Supper? To celebrate what took place on Calvary and what has taken place in my life as a result of me making Jesus the Lord of my life. You see, I come to worship him at the Lord's Supper table. I'm now a child of God, adopted into the family of God, knowing the joy and the forgiveness of my sins. And I'm obeying the command my Lord gave me to make him known to the world as the only Savior of mankind. As I partake, I show him until he comes back. But you know what? I can't just do it inside this building. I have to do it on the streets. I have to do it at work. I have to do it at school. I have to do it in places of recreation. I have to do it in the hospitals. I have to do it in the grocery store. I have to do it in the bank. I can go on and on. With every place you go, we are to make him known to the world that is around us. What are you doing to make him known? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And even though it's Friday afternoon and the death of Jesus would be taking place about this time, we're celebrating the last thing the disciples did with Jesus that night in the Passover, accepting the Lord's Supper's teaching. Let us remember every day that he washed the disciples' feet, and he told us we have to do likewise. We serve each other. We serve those around us. We serve those we come in contact with to make Jesus known. Help us make him known today. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.